Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to An Hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we are going to be talking with a woman who has gone through some extraordinary experiences. She had a car accident in 1987, caused a near-death experience, and what she went through and how it changed her life is what we're going to be hearing about today. All of us face challenges at one time or another in our life of various degrees. And it's what we do with those challenges that make a difference, and they can transform our lives in a very significant way. My guest today is Asia Voigt. Asia, I want to welcome you to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thank you for having me here.
I wanted to go into a little bit of this experience, this background that you had, because after this accident in 1987, you were paralyzed, horribly burned. You were given a 3% chance to live, which, as odds go, that's not too high, obviously. And it was because of this that there was a breakthrough for you in utilizing those intuitive capacities that you were born with. Tell us how that happened. Tell us about your experience.
Yes, thank you. And really the core, the overriding theme that I really want to share is how our intuition brings us guidance and happiness, and that everyone has it available to them. That you have that available. And when I was a child, I was able to telepathically communicate with animals. I mean, really, hearing conversations with them. And I know we have this in movies. You know, there are actually over 240 movies out with talking animals, and it seems kind of magical to us, but it really happens. It really is authentic and beautiful and insightful. And not only the animals, but angels. And, you know, so many people love to talk about angels, so it seems like that's a little bit more acceptable. And that, being able to hear them, that guidance was available to me after my car accident. Because, you know, if anyone, if you have ever been in a hospital or ever been injured, you may have many doctors giving you their opinions. You have friends giving their opinions. What do you do? How do you know the direction? And so that intuition is available to you. It was available to me, and that's what helped me.
How did it demonstrate itself? Now, here you are. You're paralyzed. You're burned. You're obviously in pain. Was it an emotional awareness? Did you see particular things? Because you had a near-death experience. What was that like?
The near-death experience was really beautiful and profound, as many other readers share this experience. That's how mine was, too, even though I was very afraid, given the Christian upbringing that I had. My family really preached a lot about sin and damnation, and actually I was really afraid when I was in the hospital that I was going to go to hell, and it was awful, actually. And when I passed over to the other side, which wasn't far, from my experience, it wasn't the light, up. It was just a slight up and over. And there I was, breathing beautifully instead of on a respirator. My skin was beautiful and perfect. And these teachers came forward to me and immediately started speaking to me in my mind and in my heart. Excuse me, and I could understand them. And I thought, this is how I communicated when I was a child with the animals. and with angels and other spirit guides. I'm like, oh, I know how to, I knew this, even though I had had it turned off right before that. And they said it's important for you to go back to Earth and help the animals, help people understand that they can communicate with their dog and their cat and get guidance and know why are they peeing on the floor. Why are they running away when you call for them to come? And even though you've used trainers and how to get your own guidance in any part of your life, they said, this is available. Go back to Earth and share this. And when I looked at my body, I said, are you kidding? Like, really? That body down there, it's a bloody, paralyzed mess. It's on a respirator. It has, like, 5 tubes going in. I don't know. This seems impossible. And they said, we will help you heal. Listen to us. Mm-hmm. And he went, okay. And back in my body I went.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted you to share it with my audience because recently I have come across some material and I was watching someone making a comment on this is, life is just the way it is. When you live, this is what you've got. You're not going to have any more. You're not going to have any less. And when you die, that's it. And I just know from my own personal experiences and from so many of the people that I've interviewed through the years, mm-hmm. they've had these profound happenings in their lives. And it literally transformed their life, which is what has happened to you. Now, there are two books that I have in front of me. One is called Extraordinary You, The Art of Living a Lusciously Spirited, Vibrant Life. And then the other one is Pearls of Wisdom. Now, in each of these books, you have a commentary. And what I wanted to do, because you've already touched on it, your passion is with animals. You were able to have this wonderful awareness when you were a child. And this is something that children many times, I mean, it's just a part of their life. They haven't developed any paradigms that say, this is good, this is bad, don't do this, don't do that. They just are open, and it's wonderful because you can see what I call a magic happen when children and animals get together. There's just this wonderful communication that goes on.
Absolutely.
Now, in the book Pearls of Wisdom, let's address what you wrote there. You told your story, but also you realized that you had to make it okay. In other words, you can have some phenomenal experiences like you did, but if you're not really going to be open to it and to allow it to happen, to allow it to express itself, you're going to find a lot of frustration. You, though, were very open to doing this. So it took you a long time to recuperate from this experience physically. What did you determine you were going to do with what you were made aware of? You came back with the information. What did you determine you were going to do with it? What was your next phase?
Yeah, beautiful question, and it is. It's a process, and there's so many elements for recovery and all those levels. But I held within me that light of the divine. Having that beautiful near-death experience gave me the confidence to step forward in a world where adults mock, make fun of, ridicule the awareness of animals. And like you said, the children don't. And it's magical. And so many adults wonder, why am I missing that magical element in my life? Why am I missing that blissful, open, joyful connection that leads me in my daily life? I can remember having that. Where is it? But it is attainable. It's there. It's waiting for you to choose that and decide it again, and that it is possible to communicate with your beloved cat. You probably already have a beautiful connection with them, but what if that could even go deeper? It's available for you. And so for me to step out into the world and say, I do this, I can communicate with animals It's real, it's authentic, it's essential to the well-being of our planet and all the animals in it. And it's available to you. And here I can teach you how to do this. And that's what I step for.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So for you, now, today, these many years after this very moving, life-changing experience that you went through, you are very much involved with helping people learn about how to communicate with animals. Now, I don't know of anyone, unless they're just really dumb as a rock, that have not taken the time. If they've been around animals enough, they realize that there's this communication capacity, there's this sensitivity. I've got a Scottish Terrier that can say volumes in just the way he looks at you. I mean, it's just amazing what they can teach us. However, there is that part of the psyche that because of indoctrination, and I know of many people dependent on their cultural background, that will just say, well, these animals, they're dumb animals. I can recall a friend telling me that about dogs. They're dumb. They don't know this. They don't know that. And I can remember just looking at this person and saying, I'm wondering if I could even have a decent conversation with you. You just don't get it. You don't get it. You watch animals, period, birds, reptiles even. You watch all kinds of creatures that they cannot speak as we speak in the same manner that we do. Limits us because we don't have that communication. But they really do have feelings, contrary to popular opinion on the part of many individuals. This is something that requires a level of sensitivity and awareness, and it requires a mindfulness. What is the first step that you recommend, Asia, for people to become mindful?
I love how you just spoke that. I would say the first step is noticing, to saying this exists. That even though the animals are very different in physical form, that we are created of the same spiritual essence. And I'm going to notice that.
Mm-hmm.
So the first step would be noticing. Mm-hmm. Really with a soft, open heart, soft, open eyes, a presence, a mindfulness. And then the next step would be to have that intention. I desire to create a deeper level of communication and connection with you. And you look at your dog, your cat, your horse, and you say that to them. Because some of the animals, you know, we like to talk. And we have a lot going on in our minds, and they probably have tried multiple times to communicate. And sometimes they're like, oh, they might give up just a little bit. But you let them know, I'm sorry, I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to sit and listen. Please send me a message. That is huge. That is a huge transformation you're starting right there, in not only with your animals, but in your entire life.
There is this telepathic communication that I think many Aboriginal peoples, I hate using the word primitive because they're not primitive. Just because we don't live as they do doesn't mean that they don't know things that we should be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
But there's often that training that dependent on the culture where youngsters were encouraged to listen. They were encouraged to just be quiet. And in our busy world, we have got so much chatter going on. Either somebody's texting or they're tweeting or they're Googling or they're doing something else and they get so busy. The mind just never, ever shuts down. I tell people when your mind is just absolutely quiet and there's nothing there, you're probably going to be dead because the brain is always working. That's something that's always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
How would you suggest that someone, with all of this busyness that we have going on, to be able to tune telepathically with their environment, whether it's their own animals, whether it is nature, period. And mm-hmm. even to be able to tune for themselves. What would you recommend as a few steps?
Yes, I would. I have two thoughts on this, because I myself have taken about 25 years of yoga and meditation training. And when I started, I could not sit still. I could not be in the Zen yoga meditation, cross legs, oming position without feeling like I wanted to pull my hair out. It did not work for me. And what I found that did work was walking.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing a walking meditation where I would just notice, oh, look at the beautiful leaves on the trees. I'm noticing a bird flying. Breathing. I'm noticing I'm stepping and walking. And that's how I started successfully quieting my mind, quieting my body. And then eventually I could sit and meditate and felt very successful at short intervals. So for you, it might be walking, it might be sitting, it might be swimming, a flowing kind of movement was what I started out being most successful with in attaining a more quiet meditative state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's something with animals. Let's talk about some of the animals that you have worked with, Asia, because that is your passion. You were guided and directed and informed, in fact, that this was mm-hmm. your job. This is what you were supposed to do. And I know that sounds rather confining in my statement, but it is sometimes fascinating to me how people will become aware of certain directives. Others don't have that particular format of insight. And I think that's what confuses a lot of people. They'll look at experiences that you've had or someone else has had and say, gee, that's not happened to me. I guess I can never get there because I didn't have something traumatic happen to me in that way and manner. I think of Danyon Brinkley, who got electrocuted, you know, more than once, just had this horrific experience, all kinds of things. Horrible things don't have to happen to people for them to become aware. And I think sometimes we get so caught up with someone else's experience that we close ourselves off to our own. And I think that hearing about experiences like yours are so important because you are wanting to empower people to find their own, if you will, their own center, their own mindfulness, and their own awareness. Let's talk a little bit about your dog, Makiba.
Mm.
How was, and your horse, Magic, Makiba mm-hmm. and Magic, how were they instrumental in your recovery? Because when you had this horrible event occur, these two animals were in your space.
Mm-hmm. And just hearing their names, and I feel like, you know, pet parents, we hear our animals' names and our heart opens and maybe even tears comes to our eyes. So that just happened for me saying that. After my accident, I initially had support of my family, but then quickly afterwards I did not. And that is a whole nother long story. But I did have the support. First was Makiba, and she came from a rescue, and she was a traumatized six-month-old puppy, wilder than a Mustang. And I thought, this is the one. This is the one for me. And we're going to heal together. And we did. And she really would act up and act wild, dragging me all over the place. And at first I just thought, you're so naughty. You know, why don't you listen to me? Why don't you talk to me? You know, I'm trying to learn again how to communicate because I had to reawaken my abilities as a childhood. I had turned them off. So I really mm-hmm. understand what new people are thinking. I want to talk to my dog. Oh, how do I start? I was there. So I reconnected with Makiba and learned all over again how to do this as an adult. And she challenged me, but then the bigger picture was I could see how absolutely wise she was to say, you need to get your power going, or I'm going to plow you down. Step it up, girl. Let's do it. So sometimes those naughty animals that we think we have in our lives, we try everything, nothing is working. What is the deeper message that they have for you in your life that you're not waking up to? Who knows us better than anybody with no other set of hidden agendas? Our dogs, our cats, right there in our homes, 24 hours a day with us. And that's what Makeba did for me. She empowered me.
Now, Magic the Horse, I would imagine it would have been very, very difficult for you to ride after your accident, but I do know how significant horses are, and especially in therapy work. They have a way of connecting with people that is just utterly phenomenal. What is your experience with Magic?
Well, I'm glad to say that actually Magic came along later in my life. Actually, my first horse that I did not talk about was a gentle, caring soul, was a horse named Rocket. And so I had Rocket to start out with first, who took care of me. And then later, many years later, I had Magic. And he was a young colt when he came into my life, and he also was in a fire. And I had been guided that it was time for me to get another horse. Rocket was 28 years old. I thought, okay, it's time for me to adopt, to get another horse. I was guided to Magic, and here he had been in a fire. Now, there is almost no horses. Many horses that are in fires are put down.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to care for them and heal them. And here's this three-month-old horse with burnt, bloody legs.
And if I,
the second I saw him, I mean, my heart just broke open, and all the pain that I had not healed or dealt with from my accident came forward because of this beloved horse and the guidance to bring us together, and I could help him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I helped him. He helped me, and he was also another lesson for me about authentic empowerment. And he would act up and say, come on, let's see your authentic power. And how do you start to find that? And I would say, well, I don't know how to start. And he would give me little pieces of guidance. So it's like he's standing in two places. He's acting as the naughty horse, and then he's also acting as the wise sage, giving me steps, giving me guidance. Who do I contact? Go see this trainer. We need to work with this trainer now. Okay, that was enough. Now let's go to this other one, because they have a piece that one didn't have. And through the years, I can't even speak, really. I'm going to cry because it was so profound what he did for my life. And your animals are waiting to do the same for you. Message of healing that you're not seeing, they can help you with. They're available. They're there for us. That unconditional love and support that we have maybe never felt from anyone, they have it. They're that jewel, that gift for us. And we know that. And it honors them by saying, I'm going to take the time, I'm going to take a little time to be quiet and learn how to honor you back and listen, because I want to be a good partner to you, just as you are to me.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Now, something that I have seen happen, and something I've talked with various people through the years who have had very, very special animals in their life, animals taking on issues. I recall a woman by the name of Virginia that said to me that her beloved dog had died of a particular condition. She herself had been going through a great deal, and she said, I felt my dog took on my physical issues. And it's as if I was healed because he took on certain aspects with me. Now, many people would listen to this and would say that statement was totally ludicrous. So Virginia felt that her animal had enabled her to live substantially longer and to get through a very physical challenge that she was experiencing. And because there was such a tight bond between them, that the animal, again, took on her issue and passed away because the strain was too much for the body. But she said it was an experience she could never, ever share with a lot of people because they just wouldn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Yet you approach this, and you say animals do take on your issues. Tell us your most profound experience with that.
Oh, yeah. And also, I was not raised to have that belief either, that animals can take on our issues or empower us in different ways or help heal us. I absolutely did not have that. My father was raised on a farm. You might have one pet, the rest are farm animals, and just know they're going to end up getting killed. That's it. They're over there. That's how it works. So that was the, even though I wasn't on a farm with them, they had moved to town, but that was the mindset that I was raised among. And so when I kept seeing this happening over and over again in my practice, where I had one particular dog that I worked with, and it was actually the first time that I had felt what cancer feels like in a dog. And I said, I just feel like this hot, squirming, like worm sensation being sent from your dog to me, to my body, and I'm holding my ribs on the side here, kind of by my liver. And I said, right in this spot, but kind of, you know, in. And she just teared up, and she said, I found out a week ago that my boxer, the tan and white beloved dog, has cancer. And she said, I have cancer in the exact same spot.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, I'm getting better, and my dog is getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, cow. And I'm seeing that over and over and over and over and over again. You know, in my book, I talk about how that woman who was drinking, and she was hiding it from her family, from her husband, but her dog had a burning stomach ache, nausea, throwing up. They went to every vet that they could find. They couldn't figure out. And here the dog said, you know, I'm taking on that liquid, that burning liquid that you're drinking all the time. Please, you have to stop. I can't keep handling this in my body. I'm trying to save you. I can't do it anymore, though. Well, she just burst into tears, like, oh, my gosh. And a lot of people, they might not be willing or able to help themselves for whatever reasons, but when they know that this is affecting their dog and they believe it, they see it, they feel it, they stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And I know I have a Scottish Terrier, and there are things that I watch and I see with him. And there is just every animal has their way of communicating. Every animal has their way of saying, you need to know I'm doing certain things because of this, that, or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite amazing. And animals have even been known to give, you might say, a diagnosis of certain health conditions with people. They are aware of it. Their sensory factor is so far superior to ours. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I know we are just about out of time, Asia. And I want people to know about your website, which is asiavoit.com. And it's Asia, A-S-I-A, V like Victor, O-I-G-H-T. And that is the correct spelling of her last name. She has some wonderful books. Pearls of Wisdom is one. Extraordinary You is the other. And you'll find information, I'm sure, about all of this on our website, as well as more about animal communication.
Mm-hmm. And I do have a free gift for people on my website, too. Yeah.
All right. You have a free gift for people. Is there a thought, excuse me, before we close out that you would like to share with my audience?
To know that the animals love you and to take the time to breathe and quiet yourself and listen to what your animals have to offer you. They have so many gifts and jewels, and that connection you already feel with them can only go deeper and be more profound. And I invite you to that because it really is our heaven here on earth. We don't have to go through any traumatic experience or wait to heaven to feel good. We can have that right now.
Yes, we can. And I think that too often people have been, I think it's brainwashed, into believing that they have to have something upsetting or violent or bad or whatever. That's the only way they can really get enlightenment. And we as human beings really get mucked up in our thinking sometimes. And I think animals being around them enable us to be able to take a different look at life and maybe even slow down enough to recognize that sometimes the quiet moments, the nondescript moments, are the richest moments that we have, because it's during those times that we can pay attention to our own sensory system and allow our own intuitive gifts to come forward. Asia Voigt, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Thank you so much. Her books, The Pearls of Wisdom and Extraordinary You, go to her website, asiavoigt.com, and find out more about what this lovely woman has shared from her profound experiences and as an animal communicator, what she can even share with you. So this is Donna Siebel. Again, Asia, thank you for being my guest.
Thank you, Donna.
We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Siebel. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna Siebel. Welcome. I'm delighted to have you back, and if you would like to give me a buzz to chat, I'd be more than happy to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Call me at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, I wanted to share with you a thought. This is with... Well, actually, it is stated by Max Velman. Now, I didn't know who this man was. He originally was an electrical engineer, and then he shifted over to becoming a psychologist and a philosopher. He had some very interesting experiences, and he opened himself up to studying consciousness at the University of London. And when he started studying consciousness at the university, when this was finally opened up, it was a big shift. And there are so many areas of this study that he has been a primary initiator of in different places around the world. And he doesn't just take from one perspective. He does more than one. And he's just written profusely. He's got well over 100 publications on this. But he made some statements that I thought were worthy to just sort of mentally chew on. And this is what he said. The existence of consciousness is often thought to be the greatest mystery in science, while the existence of matter is, you know, taken for granted. But the existence of matter is equally mysterious. Why should there be anything rather than nothing? Nor are there good reasons to believe that consciousness emerged from matter. Rather, that consciousness and matter co-emerged and continue to co-evolve from the primal event in which our universe was born. Far from being strangers in a strange land, human life and consciousness are natural expansions of the universe in ways that we're only beginning to understand. We are embodied and embedded in a mystery, and in the depths of our being, we are the mystery. So whenever you're feeling like your life is just doing a tailspin, this is part of the adventure. Discovering yourself, your talents, your capabilities, and where can the adventure of life take you? We've got a caller on the line. Let's take this caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
JL. I'm calling in from Brooklyn, New York.
Hi, JL. Welcome. Is the weather beautiful in Brooklyn?
It's sunny today.
Great. Great. Mm-hmm. You know, I've never been to Brooklyn. And all the times I've been to New York, I've never had time enough to go to Brooklyn and to see some of the other things that are around New York. New York is so compact. There's so many different environments in New York. Just, it's fascinating to me. Well, let's get down to business with you, JL. I'm watching you in my mind, and I'm just seeing a wonderful, smiling face, and I'm hearing the comment, yes, I made it. So I'm not sure what this is in relevance to. I am aware of the fact that there has to be this quiet discipline, this quiet follow-through, this determination, persistence. All of this is going to pay off. So whatever it is that you have been working towards or aspiring for, it is coming into positioning. Now, it's not going to happen day after tomorrow, but it is coming into positioning. So you will not lose ground. I guess that's what I want to say to you. You will not lose ground. Just hold true and be patient. Do what needs to be done. Follow through. You will achieve what you want to achieve. Now, there is something here about you're going out of the country. I think you are going to be stepping outside of the U.S. And there may even be an opportunity for you to have a job in an environment that I don't know you would perhaps have considered yourself. But when it is offered to you, I would like to encourage you to think about it. And I want you to be able to get the details about what's being offered and then stand back and try to get a bigger picture. Because you're very detail-oriented. You try to put everything into a little box. And I'm asking you to step out of the box and to look at a bigger picture that this could bring to you in the way of experience. Don't say no to the opportunity until you have allowed yourself to think through the possibilities that you'll gain from being involved in this working environment. When I look at it, the working environment, you might stay with it for 2 years. It's not something you're going to dedicate your life to. But you'd be in this environment for 2 years, and you would develop skills and knowledge that you would not be able to have from a textbook. So you need to be able to be open, alert, and aware to look at a bigger picture and not to be afraid to stretch yourself. If you get too concerned about having total security and safety, you're going to find yourself stymied. You're going to find yourself blocked. So be alert, be aware, be receptive, and allow that when this opportunity for, I'll call it an overseas positioning, comes to you, it may not be a negative. It may really bring you more in the way of gifts and self-development than you could ever have imagined. Do you have a question for me?
Yes. Actually, you were right on that I'm leaving the country. I'm actually going to China tomorrow for about 3 weeks. And I don't know, maybe it'll bring me some sort of job opportunity, like you said. But that's not what I'm there for. But it seems to me that you're saying that maybe this will lead to a job opportunity, which is what my concern is right now, because things are not going well for me at my job, and I've been trying to apply for schools, and that's not going well for me neither. I just recently, I feel like doors keep shutting in front of me, and I feel like sometimes I feel like I don't know, like if I can, I don't know, do something.
All right, see, now that's what I was addressing. And this is very natural, dear. Your feelings, your frustrations. So many times in life, we're told, this is the instruction book. This is what you do. A plus B plus C plus D. This is it. This is how it works. And just go out and do it. Every one of us will find, at some point or another, that the quote-unquote instruction book isn't working for us, whatever the circumstances might be. And just because you have an education doesn't mean that you're going to step into a $90,000 a year job. On the other hand, in your situation, that you have a job environment that you're in right now that is unsettling, it has been a challenge for you to be able to stay there, but you haven't had anything else your way. So because you're not finding things, you're looking for things in a particular category. When you're looking for things in a particular classification and category, you are going to have blinders on. And this is normal. This is not abnormal. There's nothing wrong with you. You're behaving in just a typical human way. To allow for things to open up for you, where you say, I am open to different opportunities. I don't know where I'm going to put myself, and you keep on applying. You don't whine. You don't get upset. You just say, okay, I keep on putting out job applications. I put on applications for school. I'll keep doing this. I don't know where my good is going to come from, but I keep doing the action. It's very important to have action and intention in place. You don't know what the result is going to be, and you're trying to control everything. This is a natural part of your nature. So to release that control, to keep putting out the action and the attention, is a tough positioning to be in. It's not easy. So what you want to do is to recognize that, be disciplined, because you are going to reach your objective. You are going to reach your objective. This is something that's going to be very, very important to you. So what I want you to realize, you just have to be... Yeah, go ahead and do things, hon. Keep on doing. Don't worry that you're still in New York. You're leaving for China. You're going to be over in China. And what you need to do is make it okay. Your intention is good. If this is an open door for opportunity, wonderful. Regardless of where you are, you ask for the highest and best, and in your meditation and in your prayers, you keep putting out the action and your intention, and it will flow into place. But it might surprise you. It may not be as you expect it to be.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much, Donna.
You're very welcome. And much success to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are open. If you'd like to call in and chat, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. tomorrow we're going to be talking with Elliot Ray, and his book is titled Stealing the Borders. This is a man who went through some very, very profound experiences when he was younger. Interestingly enough, he himself, I believe, lived in New York, and he decided to write about these experiences, which are about World War II. So I think you'll find them interesting. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about something we all know about, seaweed. Scott Kennedy is going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about this phenomenal food that comes from the sea. And Scott is really very knowledgeable about this. So we're going to have, I think, a pretty interesting conversation. And I invite you to join us and also to let your friends know about what is going on the Donna Sebo Show. So we'll be talking about that on Friday. Oh, boy. Okay, we're going to take a break for just a minute. When we come back, I've got some more good things to share with you. So I hope you'll be with me. Oh, quick like a bunny, don't forget, for those of you in Washington, I have free passes to the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair. I only have 9 left. So if you would like, 2 adults, 2 kids, would like to be able to go to this awesome event, which is being held at the Kelly Farm in Bonnie Lake, Washington, give me a call at my office, 253-582-5604. It is coming up so fast. Check out their website, Washington Fair, FAIRE.com, for more information. Donna Sebo, we're taking a break. We'll be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now. Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. I'm delighted that you're able to be with me today. I want to share with you a story I had never heard about. And this is going to be taking us back to the 1800s, but it's about the Hermit Czar. And in November, or on the date of November 19th, 1825, this took place in southern Russia. Tsar Alexander I officially died. But did he really? All kinds of rumors after his death had been officially announced were circulating, saying that the emperor, who was a very disillusioned man, had faked his death, substituting the corpse of a soldier to be his proxy for the death certificate. Apparently, the Tsar Alexander had become very sick during mid-November of that year, and refusing to take any medication for his ills, died an undetermined number of days later. Now, there were 4 people that testified to his death: his wife, the Empress Consort, his aide-de-camp, and his personal physician, as well as a court physician. Now, unfortunately, the testimonies contradicted one another. And the pages from the Empress's diary, written at the time of his illness, they disappeared, period. Now, Nicholas I, which was Alexander's successor, had royal documents from Alexander's last reigning year totally destroyed. Little suspicious? Mm-hmm. Now, the emperor's autopsy report, signed by 10 doctors, including the royal surgeon, described a body that had appeared to suffer from diseases such as syphilis, which the Tsar never, ever had. The royal surgeon later denied signing an autopsy report, even though his signature could be seen on the paper. In 1827, the tomb of the Tsar was opened in the middle of a night by order of the imperial court. These rumors just were not going away. Inside the casket, all there was were lead bars. That's right. In 1826, there was a pauper. He was known as Fyodor Kuzmich, who appeared in Krasnoyarsk, Russia. He was arrested for vagrancy and was then sent to Siberia. Now, this was a beggar that didn't look too much like other beggars. He had a very distinguished, stately kind of a presence. He had his past that nobody knew anything about, but he became a hermit. And he became known for being a healer. People would journey for incredible distances to just be in his presence. Now, among some of these pilgrims were two servants that had been exiled from the royal palace and relegated to Siberia. When one of them became ill, the associate found a guide to take him to Kuzmich, the healer, for medicine. The comrade was reportedly astonished to recognize the Tsar's voice. Kuzmich was that of the former Tsar Alexandra. He passed out. It was such a shock for him. The guide was advised to tell the fainter that his friend would recover and that they should both forget the incident entirely. Kuzmich, the healer, he died in 1864 whispering, "God knows my real name." Fascinating story. A little bit like the journey of Buddha, but that is Tsar Alexander mystery that I don't know will ever totally be solved, but I think they discovered enough information to provide some answers that were quite, quite surprising to most people. Donna Sebo here, and I know we've got a few minutes here. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about a man's experience in life and what he did with his examples, but I have got a recipe here. I don't think I have shared this, but what the heck. If I have, it's worth repeating again. I just don't think I have. Do you like Italian food? Do you enjoy trying different things? Well, if you're like me, you do every once in a while. With my Italian background, one of my favorites meat is a good Italian sausage, and I prefer spicy Italian sausage. Well, how about a recipe, penne with sausage, peas, and mascarpone? Aha, yes. All right, and this is such a delightful meal. It's not a heavy meal, and it's wonderful for summertime, anytime, and the flavors are great. Really sweet, simple, and easy. Here it is. You're going to need 3/4 of a pound of hot Italian sausages, 3/4 of a pound of sweet Italian sausages, and of course you're going to take them out of their casings. You need 1 cup of chopped onions, 1 1/4 cups of whipping cream, 3/4 of a cup of chicken broth, 1 pound of penne pasta, 2 cups of frozen peas or fresh peas, 2/3 of a cup of mascarpone cheese, and 3/4 of a cup of freshly grated Parmesan cheese. I know the freshly grated Parmesan, you cannot beat it. It is so good. All right, this is how simple this recipe is. You sauté your sausages, which have been taken out of their casings, in a Dutch oven over high heat until they're nice and brown. Of course, you break it up into little pieces with the back of a wooden spoon. Transfer them to a bowl once they are nicely browned, and pour off all of the fat, except for about maybe a tablespoon worth. Then you put your onions in, and you sauté them until they're golden brown. Then you add your cream. You boil for 5 minutes. Then you add your chicken broth. And whisk all of this in. You boil it until it's reduced to a sauce consistently, and you stir it in. We just whisk it. It's going to take about 8 minutes. Then put your sausage into the pot that has been on a plate to the side. Your penne, you're going to cook it in a large pot of boiling salted water until the pasta's tender. Your sauce is simmering over medium heat. Add your peas, mascarpone, simmer until your peas are tender. That's going to be 6 minutes. Drain your pasta. Put the pasta in the sauce in the Dutch oven, toss it to coat, mix your Parmesan, season it with salt and pepper, put it in a bowl, and serve it to your guests, to yourself. Yum. Always have extra cheese on the side. This is Donna Sebo. I know we are out of time. I'm so delighted you were able to be with me today. Join me again tomorrow to learn more about some of the fascinating people that live on this planet Earth that we have a chance to chat with. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Enjoy being the person you are, because only you can deliver the gifts that you have as a person for life. Have a fabulous day or evening. We'll be chatting again tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.